And hopefully on Tuesday we should be ready to move into Killeen. We try not to take so long with that and try to move more quickly now through the Dalpim. Yeah. So I think the last thing we were discussing a little bit extensively were the Shakavatari and Dabesum at base. Thank you very much. Wait, did we put this backwards? It usually goes this way, right? Let's see. Or maybe this way, it goes this way. Can we go this way? Yeah, this way. Oh, okay. I don't know why that's so difficult.
I think we're all as confused as you.
What?
We're all as confused.
That's very charitable of you, thank you. I hope it's true. Okay. So what we're trying to do is explain that the Shakavatari and Beis Amid Beis may really be very essential in like analyzing the scope of Hezekiah, and broadly speaking, what we found pretty much going throughout, in some cases very explicitly, in other cases speculating more, is that there are two perspectives how to read the Gemara, and of course you could be mechalek between the four or five different chilukim, whether we're dealing with a hierarchy or we're dealing with different dinim, whether it's, you know, the Gina, the Nafal, the Hezekah de Rabim, Hezekah de Bias, the inability to protect yourself, etc. In all those cases, one perspective is that these are not really Hezekiah, or not the same Hezekiah that we're discussing. They're either completely different, or Hezek Gamor, etc. Or no, they really are a hierarchy. And if they are hierarchies, then to what extent, the question then remains, to what extent once we pass in Hezekiah Shema Hezek, does that get either recalibrated, or everything is the same, or to some extent, do these distinctions remain. So, for example, just something I neglected to mention, but I intended to. Some Achronim are like curious that the Rambam, both in Pirush HaMishnayos and in Yad HaChazaka, you know, discusses the Nafal Shaini case, even the Maskana, you know, as a, you know, as a Nafal Shaini type of case. Now, again, that could simply be because he was taken with, you know, the Solka Daitach, you know, like, why are you mechalek between the height of the wall, you know, and the wall itself? Meaning that Nafal Shaini continues to be important to emphasize in case the original wall was higher, to teach you that, you know, you don't have to follow, you know, through with that part of it. Very, very conceivable. But it's also conceivable that the reason that the Rambam, again, you might say, well, once the Maskana is Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek, so this is just the regular din of, you know, of Hezek Riyah. But maybe what the Rambam is trying to say also is that Nafal Shaini remains a category. Whether it's a category in, you know, upgrading, I guess, the acuity of the Hezek Riyah along the lines of Tosis, you know, Tosis is, you know, point number one or point number two or their integration, or whether more along the lines of, you know, Rashi or Ben Gershom, maybe even more so the Rimigash, if that really is a little bit different in terms of being like a chalos, you know, shutfus issue. I think that remains an open question. But it is interesting that the Rambam, you know, continues to formulate, you know, that particular case. The other point, just very quickly, on Nafal Shaini, is that Asher had asked the question, especially according to Rashi Udimei, and especially according to Rashi Udimei, according to certain understandings, so, you know, that where's the, you know, Kinyan, right? And the problem of Kinyan Dvar Bialma. So, of course, Kinyan Dvar Bialma, you know, Bialma, we will get back to. That's, of course, an issue that the Gemara speaks about explicitly in Dav Gimel, and it's in our targets, probably right after Kalayim. And of course, we showed about Dav Beis Amid Beis when they talk about the, you know, the agreement of the Shutfim in a Chatzer Sheimbo Kedei Chaluka, are talking about that. But I think it's a very good point, and I was suggesting that maybe implicit there is, and it is part of that, and we'll see what the Rishonim say about it. Yossi brought to my attention that the Ksos in Kufnun Zion Sif Katan Ches discusses this explicitly and makes the point that if you hold like Baletosis that this is a Dinit Hezek Re'iyah, then this wouldn't necessarily be a case of Kanu Miyado, but that indeed, according to Rashi, it is, and then goes on to discuss some of the details, which I hope to get back to when we talk about Kinnan Dvarim. So that's a good makar to know, to be aware of. That's Kuf Nun Zayin Sif Katan Ches. Okay, so one of the things that we talked about in terms of, again, the Shakamatari of the Gemara, and whether the Gemara is, dealing with levels of Hezek Re'iyah, and, there could continue to be nafkamina between them, even regarding, the issues that we're talking about, Chazaka, Mechila, other such issues. So the last thing that we discussed was Beit Shar, the fact that, the Gemara makes a distinction of, Nezek Derabim, but more particularly, the Ha'ara of the Nesivos, which is that here we're taking, we're making responsible for the payment, not the Mazikim, but the Nizokim, right? And especially the Nesivos' suggestion, that there could be a huge nafkamina in terms of, whether or not we equalize the payments, notwithstanding unequal benefits or at least ownership, in the chatzer. And that's a very important nesivus. And basically his, the idea is that, this isn't really the typical hezek. He's assuming, in other words, that typically we would paskin like the Ramah. We'll get back to this in just a second. Which is Nifsak in the Tur. Tur quotes the Ramah without bringing any Cholkim, I might add. That's on Kuf Nun something. Where is that? I'll tell you in a minute. Kuf Nun Zion, is it also? Yud Beis or something like that in the Tur. Is that right? I wrote it down here somewhere. Oh, Kuf Nun Zion Yud Beis. Yeah, in the Tur. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes us in Kuf Nun Zayin Gimel, right? It's like very, it doesn't attract much attention, but it's right here, Kuf Nun Zayin Gimel. Right, so that's the default, assumed view. Kosa Zayivnu Al Mokom Shneihem Ubo Tzo Shneihem Eche Ein Echad Mehem Yachalam Lo Nitratzeisi Lachlok Afa Bishalohaya Bo Din Chaluka That's the Shulchan Aruch, and of course the Rashash, who we noted, disagrees. Quotes part of this in Shit Mukubetzes. I think in the name of the Gilyon, they suggest that maybe Rashi. There's like some discussion whether Rashi agrees with this or not. That's the earliest that I'm aware of where there's some controversy about it. And then, of course, you have the Nesivos making this suggestion to be Mechalik and Beit Shar. And then, of course, we have the Rashash, who thinks that the whole thing is simply wrong. The Gra does bring a Raya, from the Sugya and Dalet Omid Beis. And we'll get back to that in just a second. We could talk about it now, actually, from the Gemara about you have a person who owns a bunch of fields and he borders with the other guy, then the question is if he builds a fence to you know, wall off his, you know, that he ends up getting benefit. We'll discuss that soon. Vrunya, and he ends up getting benefit from all four walls of the other three of which the other person put up. So then he has to pay. So the Gra, I think it's Sifkat on Yud Gimel, quotes that as an example where the parties are, are not equal. The parties are not equal, and yet it seems, in terms of how, you know, what they own, and what's affected by the fencing, and yet it seems that we are megalgel. Once it's nichale, that we're megalgel hakol, and the Rashash says, you know, well, that doesn't prove anything. It doesn't explain why it doesn't prove anything. So some of the Achronim say it doesn't prove anything because we don't know exactly how much he's paying for these fences. We don't know that he's paying 50-50. Okay. Others suggest that it's, you know, actually quite, maybe not comparable, anyway, in that case. Maybe Dafka, in that case, it would make more sense to say that that you pay according to the benefit. So, for example, the question the sugya there is talking about probably a bikkah, and this touches, of course, on the Mishnah Melech. I think Josh brought this up also afterwards. We mentioned the Mishnah Melech weighs in on this issue. You know, he quotes the tour. Where's that Mishnah Melech? Here in Perek. Did I bring the Rambam? Yeah. Perek Beis, Halacha, what is it? Tezayin. Just one second. Perek Beis, Halacha, Tezayin. Right, a very important Mishnah Melech. He brings up two issues. The second one we talked about, the diuk about gina she'en ba din chaluka, that's we talked about already. But the first one he talks about is, I guess is on the Rambam. The Rambam says, v'chein gina kofeyu av albika in tzarech lahavdil. So the Mishnah Melech says, bebika deleke hezek re'ia, right, v'kanu ze laze lasos mechitza, v'haya b'charu pashut, yesh li stapek im chayev ha'b'char liten shnei chalakim, u'duma yasu ha'kosel ben shneihem. Ukamosha Kasavatur, Simon Kufnun Zayan, Sifid Base, Bishem Rama. The Ayan Sefer Nisiv Samishbat, Nisiv, I don't know what that is, but okay. Chob Zayan Chelingim, I don't know what that is. Okay. So basically, the Mishnah Melech is Mistapeg, whether the Psak of the Rama, which is Nifsak in the Tur, in the Shulchan Aruch, namely that you pay equal, even if you have, you know, an unequal share. He's wondering whether that applies to a bika. Right. So, and the way the Mishnah Melech is formulating it, since we paskin that there's no hezek, if you assume that it's makom, you know, shenoa gushalo, anyway, that the bika leka hezek re'ia. So it's v'kanu zela zelasos mechitza. So maybe that's different. Oh. So again, just in light of the Gra, bring the Raya from, you know, that sugya, obviously the Mishnah Melech is even the stopek whether it applies, you know, in that case or not. So it's not only the question of we don't know what the level of Tashlumin is in that case. It's also like there might be very good reason to think that Dafka, you do break it, he'll pay, you know, a part, but he'll pay maybe, you know, proportionally. So I think the idea, at least on the Mishnah Melech, comes down to the following. When, you know, if there's no chiyuv in a bika, there's no mechayiv of hezek re'ia, but it's kanu miyado, you know, so how do we look, you know, how do we look at that? We're saying that the kanu miyado is to extend, similar to things that we've discussed, kanu miyado is to extend hezek re'ia, and then it's a regular din of hezek re'ia. Or the kanu miyado, you know, is to treat this, you know, differently. Either just as Shmira, Or even if it is to treat it as hezekriya, but the fact that there's no chi of objectively of hezekriya maybe changes the way, you know, that we look at what's happening here. So to go back for a second, just to explain what I mean, why this is so important. The Ramah, as we noted, is a Siman Aleph, right? I mean, the Ramah starts off the Masechta here with a bang, you know. Very insightful piece. So the Ramah's, you know, perspective is that when it comes to being mazik, so nobody has a right to mazik anybody. You don't have a right to mazik him a little. You don't have a right to mazik him a lot. Right? So the point is that, you know, who cares, you know, about the, you know, the level of ownership? It's a negative. And interestingly, the Ramah even double formulates that, which I think is also worth noting. Again, it's a great example where looking at the original, you know, text and reasoning, you know, is just very, very helpful. I mean, the Torah just quotes the Ramah, who says that it doesn't matter, you know, what portion you have in the Chatzer, you know, either way, you know, this is the din. But it's very clear in the Ramah what he thinks it depends on, as we discussed. Namely, is this a, you know, a benefit? You know, is this a quality of life asset? In which case, you know, you should divide that according to the proportion and benefit you get out of it. Again, like we're talking about taxes, you know. You know, maybe taxes should be equal, you know, if it's about, you know, protecting the individual, let's say. But let's say it's about protecting, you know, the assets, you know, in the community. Right? That's a more difficult question. Right? And if it's about, you know, not protection at all, but about services, and again, not just, you know, personal inalienable services, but let's say, you know, more gratuitous, you know, benefits, you know, positive, you know, perks in the community. And there is some sort of a correlation, you know, between what you own, you know, or the kind of life that you live, you know, within the walls of the community, you know, and the opportunity, right, to benefit from those, you know, from those opportunities. So it's a very fine line in some cases, what I'm saying. It's clear that in some things everybody should be equal, and it's clear that in some things it should be proportional. And then there's, you know, a gray area where it depends on two things. Number one, how you parse this, how you draw, where you draw the line, and also how you assess, you know, certain levies, certain, you know, certain fiscal, you know, obligations. So the point is that it's very interesting that the Ramah, you know, says two things about hezekriya. Number one, that the physical wall itself is a griusa. All right, somebody has the line open, that would be good. Just, you know, to review it. Do you have it, Yitzhak? Good.
So the high kosel, ki mis avid, lava, kluche, lefoke, de kochad minayu mis avid.
So the first thing he says is, again, the criterion is clear. If this is a positive contribution, you know, then it's lefi damav. And if it's, you know, more minias, you know, davar garua or hezek, then everybody's equal. Okay. Even then, I don't, you know, as I say, if we're talking about protecting my property, that would be an interesting question, because everybody has that right to for protection. You know, it's not a perk. It's like very core and basic. But still, I have more property than the next guy. That's an interesting question. But anyways, so we know what he's thinking. So the first thing that he talks about is the wall itself that you build. And of course, he's you know, he is basing it on the language of the Gemara on base of the base, right? Where the Gemara says, you know, I don't want to lose my my workspace. I don't want to lose my airspace. as looking at the wall is a negative, right? Then he has a, the next line where he says,
"Ella kimis aved lesluki has agriya mehadadi hudi misaved the keva the tarvayu bahaya zeka kadadi nenu the tarvayu maski adadi umechayvi kadadi lesluki has agriya mehadadi."
Yeah. So then the second point is not about the, you know, how you assess the presence of a wall, but how you look at the reason that you need the wall, namely what it is that we're trying to neutralize, the protection against the hezekriya. So first I just want to make the point that this is par for the course in a lot of the issues that we have already touched, and you know, we still want to talk today about, you know, the quality of the wall, the material, the thickness, and so on and so forth. But what we've seen throughout with Hezekriya is that there's a very interesting, you know, kind of dialectic going on. You know, one is, you know, the mechayev of it all, the privacy, for whatever reason that is. And that, of course, that's the main. But then, at the same time, there's this question of the remedy and the wall and how that fits in, you know, with the mechayev. So it's interesting that the Rama, in discussing, you know, is this a perk? Is this a benefit? Or is it more like a core, you know, neutralization of damages, you know, that he is dealing on two levels, you know, with the remedy, but also with the mechayev. The exact relationship between those two things in general is very tricky, very tricky. And, you know, we had it for gira delay, right? What is the gira delay? It's the hezekriya, or the building of the wall, right? We've had it in the rush, very big chiddush of the rush, which we'll get back to. You know, why isn't this like krab susi, you know, that you can always cut that off, you know, in the future, right? And the Rush's important answer, well, you know, because, you know, that would be true for the Hezekriya, but, you know, we're really focusing on the financial obligation to build the wall. It's all about the wall now. The wall is already, that shibud has already been nimchal, right? So this, and we're going to see it today, I mean, hopefully, in a couple of minutes, where we're going to talk about, again, this whole interesting question about, you know, the quality of the wall. The quality of the wall when you build it on the border, the quality of the wall, you know, when one person steps back into his own territory and builds it, like, you know, what is going on. So just the Rama is fascinating, you know, from many points of view, but he does relate, you know, to both of those aspects. But you could have argued with him, and this is where I think the Rosh Hash, you know, comes in. Again, the Nesivos doesn't argue with the Rama at all. Right, he just says, "Oh, in a case where we're not dealing with a levy on the mazik, but on the nizak, a nizokim, plural, they have to protect themselves. Each one is responsible for protecting his neighbor. Right, then that turns into kind of a benefit and a perk. You know, that's the perk. Again, it's against, which is why you might argue, hezek." You know, so you could say, oh, that's always, you know, equally shared. But it isn't the mazik responsibility. It's like, why am I responsible for his nezek? That already is about, I'm guessing, that's what he means. Not guessing. I think is what he means. That's about, you know, the obligation, the mutual obligation of neighbors. And it's about quality of life in a community. So that already is something which is subject, maybe, to, you know, Lefi Kirva, Lefi Damim, etc. But the point is that, you know, whether the Shita Mekubetzes is, or the Gilyon's, you know, Diuk, that somebody argues with the Rama, you know, or the Rashash, you know, this goes back to this bigger question that we've been discussing, and that is, you know, maybe the whole thing, and again, the wall, instead of looking at the wall as, Nebuch, you know, it cuts to, like the Gemara says. I mean, the Rama is right on, you know, in a narrow way. The Gemara says, like, you know, you know, it's interfering, you know, with my tashmishim. It's interfering, you know, with my avir. You know, that's certainly a perspective. But, you know, again, if you want to be an optimist, I guess, if you want to be positive about it, you know, this, you know, it's, again, it's, you know, good fences, good neighbors. This isn't an obstructing fence. You know, I don't know about the, you know, border fence, you know, with Mexico. I'm not going to get into that, but, you know, but you can look at a fence in two ways. You know, it's all to keep us out, or it's all to ensure a quality of life. And it's not just semantics. The more you look at, you know, the hezek of tsniusa, or ein bisha, or lishna bisha, or, you know, limiting your the more you look at this technically as a nezek, as a hezek, you know, then it's like a b'di'eved. Either way, it's a b'di'eved, but, you know, then you look at it as, you know, it's saving me from, you know, it's a fence against, you know, it's a bulwark, you know, to protect. But the more you look at, you know, this right for privacy, you know, and especially then you can break it down maybe in certain cases, in certain, you know, different circumstances, as itself a quality of life. That's a, you know, Eitan was asking me after this year a little bit, as a quality of life issue, you know, so then the wall is a symbol of, you know, freedom in a way. You know, it frees me, it allows me, you know, to be more comfortable, you know, in my surroundings. So again, if we're talking about, oh, if there's no wall, I can't use 80% or 20%, you know, of my property, and it's devalued, this is saving it from that devaluation, even that, I think, is an interesting question, because everybody's property, you know, is worth a different amount. Okay, so it's on the one hand it's nezek, and on the other hand it's property related, you know, personal hezek related. But the more you look at it in terms of quality of life, and, you know, and so on, the easier it is to dispute the Ramban, both on the wall level, or you could just say the wall's a remedy either way, so that's not the main thing, but on the hezekria level as well. So why not also say that there are different types of hezekria, as we've been saying. I mean, there are hezekrias that are more negative, more nezek, and then there are hezekrias that are more, as I say, about ensuring a certain quality of life. That's kind of what the Nisivis is saying. But maybe, you know, because there's no, the mazik isn't paying, it's the nizokim. They're getting together to make sure that they are, from their point, true, they're fending off, you know, a damage from the outside, but the levy, the tax, you know, the inside, you know, and the responsibility of each to his fellow neighbor is about, you know, ensuring or guaranteeing, securing, like, a certain quality of life. You know, that's a positive thing. You don't have to look at the wall, you know, and see it always as a negative. This wall, you know, is enabling, right, you know, a greater sense of security and trust, and especially privacy. So this, I think, is really the question. So then when the Mishnah Melech, you know, who doesn't hold like the Rashash, right, for sure, and or that they on the Shittim Kubatzas, he holds like the Ramah. But he's Mistapek, what about in a Bika? Right, and, you know, so again, number one, in the case of the Bika, you might say it has nothing to do with Hezekriya. That's one possibility. Especially the, you know, the Galgan Alav, the Nichale, you know, is that about Hezekriya? Or that's, you know, just Shmira, or just a preference, you know, whatever it is. You know, that doesn't have to be patterned after Hezekriya at all. But even more so, even if it's Kanu Miyado, let's say there's no objective Hezekriya, but Kanu Zelazel Asas Mechitza. So maybe in that case, you could say that, you know, the hezekriya of nezek, you know, which would be shava b'shava, you know, along the lines of the Ramah's thinking, you know, that, you know, the obligation to make a wall and so on, whether it's on the wall level or the hezek level, you know, that applies when you hold hezek riyashma hezek and there's a chiyuv to build the wall, etc. But when it's kana miyado, when they choose to do it, or they choose to, you know, to, let's say, intensify, you know, their privacy, you know, but it's not so much, you know, a nezek. There, it's really like a, you know, a quality of life decision. So there, the idea that, you know, it's lefi, you know, lefi hanaso, particularly makes sense. So this could be the idea that the Mishnah Melech is raising. You know, it's just nichale, or even if it's a raising of hezekriya, but it's raising of it to a different kind of a, you know, perspective. Okay? So basically, to sum up, the in light of the Nesivos, and then going back to the Rama, and then in light of the Rashash, this whole question, you know, as I say, is a little bit complicated, because it's hard to know, you know, even legally where to draw the line. But in addition to that, the possibility that we would be mechalek, you know, between Beis Shar, where, you know, we're focused on the Nizok community, or Hazeka Derabim, you know, or both. And again, the other alternative is to say what Noam said, which I totally agree with, and you know, was going to say, and that is that, no, even though we're dealing with Nizokim, the Raya from the Gemara and the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara is about Chepsa Shel Nezek. That's the same. The implication is a little different. Even then you might say what the Nesiva says, but, you know, it's still a part of the, even the Maskana, this is relevant to Hezek Riyashma Hezek, or in the hierarchy of Hezek, you know, Riya, you know, and so on. But in the bigger question of, you know, equal or proportional responsibility, just to sum up, I think there's a wall issue, there's a hezek issue, and then there's the nature of hezek ri'iyah generally, and the nature of hezek ri'iyah in specific settings more specifically. So this is a big question, you know, in all hezek ri'iyah, although there the predominant shita certainly is the Rama. But the cholkim, I think, you know, are really important. And then, you know, there's the Nesivos' idea of being mechalek between, you know, between Shar and so on, Hezeka Derabim, which I think is really important. And then there's the Mishnah Lamelech's example, or Safek, about Bika, which is relevant both to some of the Rayas 2 and 4, you know, for and against, rather, the Rama, the discussion of the Gra, etc. But also just in terms of, you know, being mechalik between Hezek Ri'iya, Shma Hezek, and a Hezek Ri'iya that you choose, you know, to, you know, just by consensus, to acknowledge and to safeguard against. Okay, good. Any questions on it? Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, so the Nesivos weighs in on, like, the subject of the Mishnah Lamelech.
Yeah. In that piece? No.
In a different piece.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. Where was that again?
In Kuf Nun Ches Gimel.
Kuf Nun Ches Gimel, he brings the Mishnah Lamelech.
And he explains, like, the subject, if Bika's not Mishnah Hezekriya, like, what would the basis of the subject be?
Yeah.
And he says that...
What does he say?
Kevin di bebika hatam Mishnah Ein Avisha...
Im Kain
Baal Hagedola Nizak Yoser. Im Kain? Baal Hagedola, the bigger property, Nizak
Yoser. Oh, because it's similar to what I was saying. Okay, that's great. That's Kuf Nun Ches Gimel. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. So he's saying that's a little bit, that's similar to what I was saying about, let's say there was, you know, oh, you're ruining his property. That's if you see Hezek Ri'iyah in, you know, in terms of Nezek Mamon, right? Either like, you know, again, a narrow view of what it means to restrict the guy's, you know, property, or Eina Bisha, like you're destroying or down, you know, grading the value of his crops or whatever, right? Then the idea that, you know, the more that's at stake, you know, the more you should pay, that it should be proportional, is reasonable. So he's saying that's what the Sivis is saying. Very different than the model of Beis Shear and Hezekiah de Rabbi. So it's like two opposite models in the Nesivos. The one in Kuf Samach Aleph and the one in Kuf Nun Ches. And I understand both of those. Kind of we were saying both. Okay, so that's really important. And what I was saying was that maybe another pshat would be that in the Bika, and let's say the Hezek Re'iyah isn't Hezek in this circumstance, but the Kana Miyado, the choosing to, you know, to treat it as such is like an extra perk, you know, that already doesn't come under the rubric of, you know, of Shneim Shavim. Okay, great. Good. Okay. So now let's turn our attention to, I think we have two more issues to finish up. The first one is the question of relationship between Midag HaMedina and the Shiurim of the Mishnah. A little bit hard to pin down this topic, but it seems like it might be important. It's very, a little hard to pin it down. That's one thing I want to talk about. And then before we leave Hezekiah for now, I also said I want to just revisit for a couple of minutes the issue of Kutra, just to summarize a couple of points on Kutra and Beis HaKiseh. And if anybody gets a chance, just to look at the Raman, Simin Pei Dalid. And of course, we spoke already about the, you know, the Ramban and the Rajba, you know, the question of Kenyan. You know, just to sum that up a little bit. And if you get a chance, also to see the Nesivos on that. Or the Ksosa Nesivos, I'm sorry. On Cheskas Nezakin. The Ksosa on Cheskas Nezakin. What is it? In Kufnun, what is that? Kufnun Zion? Sif Lamed Vav? Wherever it is in Shulchan Aruch. The Ksosa on that and the Nesivos on the question of Mechila. If you get a chance, if we don't get to it today. Okay. So let's talk first about the issue in the Mishnah. Okay. So what's going on with this issue in the Mishnah? Yeah. Ezra? Yeah. What's going on with the issue in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says what?
It says that
what? It lists certain materials. And then it tells you Hakalafi or Minag HaMedina. Okay. So the question is, there's a technical question. What's the technical question? What is the relationship between those two things? Let's say the Minag HaMedina clashes, right, with these. Right. We already discussed a little bit, or, you know, I said more than a little bit. The Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, the whole business of what happens if Minag HaMedina, you know, just, you know, jettisons the whole thing. Right? So that's okay. And in Gina, it's possible. In Bika, in Gina, it's a machlokas, but according to Bavli, it seems possible. In Bika, you know, even more so. Right? And in Chatzer, we know that's the big debate, and that's a really important debate. Good. But now, but as we noted, the Minag HaMedina, when it comes to Chatzer, is not about yes or no. It's about the quality of the material, right, and the shiurim, right, the standards, you know, employed within material. Okay, so the question is, how much flexibility is there in that? So again, you know, when you have, you know, the question is obvious just when you read the Mishnah, right? Mishnah is so specific. I mean, you're just like reeling once you start. First of all, you have to figure out what all these things are. Or maybe you don't, but you know, the Gvil, the Gozis, the Kvisin, the Levainim, you know, and then, you know, this one's the, how many Tzvachim, and You know, it's like, you know, what is this? And they say, I call Gemina Gemindida. Like, why so much specificity? Okay. You can get, you know, too specific. Ah. So, when you have two factors, the question is, what happens when they come into conflict with each other? And that's what the Rishonim talk about. So, in the Bali Tosis and the Ramban, right, and a little bit the Yad Ramah, not so much. So I should say, really, Tosis and then the Ramah, and then the Ramban, and then Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, you can see already, even in the sugyas that we've done, again, the huge hashpaha, as I keep saying, of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba. He doesn't always agree, but he's always relating. And so Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, the Ra'ah quoted in the Nebuke Yosef, and then the Achronim. Like, there's a huge discussion about these questions. Oh. So in order to make some sense of it, again, technically the question is clear. You know, what is required, you know, and especially when there's a clock. If the Minhag HaMedina is to require less than these shiurim, or less than these materials, or to require more, you know, what's the halach? Good. But the truth is that, you know, I think it's easier to analyze all this if you first kind of a priori kind of, you know, assess like what it is that's going on. And there's a bigger, seemingly a much bigger issue, you know, driving all of this. What is that, Tovya? Would you say? Like the biggest question that helps frame it. Doesn't give us the answers necessarily, but like, what's the big question here? Is this like, technical issue? You know, how many tefachim for Levainin? I mean, it is that. I'm sure Posek have to know these things, I guess, but, you know, what's the bigger question here when you read this? Exactly. What is the main purpose of the wall? Be more specific. Like, what's this wall really about? And depending on what answer, or the pashtas, let's just start default. The whole sugya is tamua, a little bit. Right? Because the way that we normally would have thought it, and it's good that this gets echoed a little bit in some of the Rishonim, you know, at some point. You know, a little bit in the Ramban, you know, a little bit in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, what do I mean? Like, what's the point of the wall such that, like, we should not be flexible? Why wouldn't we be flexible? Even more. Forget about being flexible. What would you have thought? Like, if you didn't have the Mishnah. So, okay, what would you have thought? I'm going to get back to Ezra in just a second. Haven't forgot about you. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. But just be a little more specific. Why? Why just put up a wall? Why not put up the best wall? This is the question. Do you need, like, a formidable wall? Right? Or, you know, practically any wall will do. What's the issue? Just to formulate it. Why just put up any wall? You're not a minimalist. Right? Any wall? Oops. Got it? But you're right. Why here should any wall do? Simply.
I mean, you just need to divide. I mean, it depends what the goal is. Like, is it just dividing property and renting something? If it's just dividing property, then any sort of...
Well, dividing the property, you know, doesn't seem to be the obvious first choice. I mean, there are many ways to divide a property. I mean, if you're talking about signaling the division of the property, you can do that in any way, many ways. Even Rashi's, understanding of the Gemara here, hey, you put a little, you know, put a little something on the floor. Okay, so the signifying of the splitting of the property, that's very minimal. You don't even need a wall for that, presumably. Why do you need a wall here? The pashtas. The basic core thing. And then we have to figure out, is there more to it? You mean it, but you're just not saying it. To protect what?
The neighbors
from
each other?
In what respect? Exactly. If you need a wall to accomplish, you know, protection of Hezekiah, so any wall, any physical barrier should be enough. Why isn't it? Right, the Gemara says, oh, a big chiddush on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. What, Ezra, what's a chiddush on Dalet Amud Aleph? Yeah, exactly. The Gemara says, Lasuye Mai, Hutza V'dafna. What's the yichus of Lasuye Atra D'Nehige B'Hutza V'dafna? I mean, we would have thought that Hutza V'dafna would be no good. Rambam says, you know, pretty clearly, Ezra, that what? About Hutza V'dafna? What's Rambam's contribution? But it's obvious. I mean, it has to be obvious, but he says it at least. Like, he sees... Say again? Rambam says, remember in, right here, what is Rambam? Ubavad sheyebo afilu nogalasas mechitza b'nein b'kanim b'behutzin ubavad sheyebo avir sheyistak abo v'yiras kaveru. Right? Okay, good. So if hutza v'dafna is again, we still have to determine that means that's the bottom, that's the lowest. Sounds like that was from the Gemara. We'll see in a moment. That's a debate between Bali Tosis and the Ramban, right? But why is this even a chiddush? Lasui atru denehigi behubtza v'dafna. It does. It accomplishes the goal, right? It's a chiddush that it's a chiddush, and it's a chiddush that it's only b'mokom b'atra denehigi, or that there are, you know, higher specifications that are required. Like, what is this all about? It's all about Hezekiah. If you hold that the proper reading of the Mishnah is Shutfim Shuratzu Lasas Mechitza, that if they're breaking up their partnership, they have to build a wall for purposes of Hezekiah, because Hezekiah Shmei Hezek. If Hezekiah Shmei Hezek is the Mechayiv, then you should have a minimal wall. Amotzim Yechaveru Olav Araya, number one. Like, you know, assuming that if there's some question about standing or not standing, we'll get to that in a second. In general, if I want to levy a monetary, imposition on someone, you know, for a good reason, for a justified reason, right, the justification should be limited to the minimum that I need to accomplish the goal. And the goal is Hezekiah, and according to the Rambam, Hutza V'dafna is solid. It has to be, otherwise it would never work. I'm just using the Rambam because it's interesting that he, you know, emphasized it. But at the end of the day, why would you ever need more than Hutza V'dafna? And then we're going to go through each shita very quickly, hopefully. We're going to find some shitas that say, you know, that even if something is a barrier, but it's less than Hutza V'dafna, it's no good. You know, even Hutza V'dafna, it is clear in the Gemara that Hutza V'dafna is no good. You know, ba'atra the higi, you know, with higher. Never mind that. The gvil and the it sounds like the gvil and the gazis, again, these are no good half the time. Like, why not? What's the problem? And if they're good some of the time, then why aren't they good all of the time? You know? We'll get to that in a second. So the whole thing is very mysterious. That's all I'm... Tuvia, that's what you wanted to say, right? Right. So you need a wall for purposes of Hezekiah. Whatever accomplishes Hezekiah should accomplish your goal. Ah. So we have to think a little bit, like what's going on beyond that? That's what we all would have thought. Let's say that's what I would have thought. Okay. So I think there's an important distinction to make, and then once we make this distinction, then, you know, there are, again, different factors or different, you know, formulations within this distinction. So let's say it this way. I'm giving you how I look at it. It sounds like, you know, there are really two dinim here. And maybe, you know, these two dinim will actually express themselves too. One is, you know, to describe a circumstance in which, you know, there is no hezek re'iyah. Like, there's no problem. That's one issue. And the second issue is, when there is a problem, what is the proper solution or remedy? Right? Maybe the hagdara of a remedy, you know, is more ambitious than the circumstances in which, to begin with, there is or isn't a problem. For example, some of the achronim suggest, like, you know, let's say you had like a hutza v'dafna, you know, wall. Let's say you had, you know, a chatzar shutfim, and there was a hutza v'dafna wall, you know, in the middle. And then the shutfim broke up their partnership. Right? And it was be'atra delo nehigi behutza v'dafna. Or even less than hutza v'dafna, as long as, you know, there was no problem of hezekriya. Is it clear that the dinim of the Mishnah, that these dinim would apply? Or is it only when there's nothing there, now you have to build a wall? Right? I thought in the footnotes of Rabbeinu Yoni, quote somebody, I don't remember. But there's a discussion in some of the poskim that what's the difference? Because in one case, right, there's a problem, there's an issue, there's a chiyuv to solve it, to remedy it. And maybe the remedy, right, needs to be of a certain quality. We'll get to that in just a second. But if there's no circumstance of hezekriya to begin with, like we have this, you know, a similar kind of situation already. We've discussed the Ramah and the Gaonim, and then the discussion of the Ksos, you know, about that Gaonim. Right? Let's say you have, you know, some other intervening property, you know, that blocks, you know, you, you know, but not your property. Let's say Reuven has has a wall, and Reuven's wall, you know, which intervenes between you and his chatzer, falls down. Okay, but as long as Reuven's wall is up, you don't have to put up a wall, right? Now it fell down. That's a different story, maybe. You know, that's when you get the whole question, you know, psichas chalon. You have a chalon open that would, you know, in theory go, well, look into his chatzer. But the time when you open the chalon, there was a barrier. What did I say? This case, you know, the Shnei Shudfim own a chatzer, but in the middle of the chatzer, right, there happens to be a wall, a flimsy wall. A wall that wouldn't qualify, you know, for the remedy of building a wall to solve the problem hezekriya. But there's no problem, there's no machayev of hezekriya, conceivably, likely. Oh. So the question is, how far do you push this idea? If this is true, again, it's not mukhrach, you can say it's not true. You know, we thought that the problem you know, should be solved by any wall, you know, that neutralizes actual hezekriya, and we're wrong about that. That's what we would have thought, but we're wrong about that for reasons we'll get to in a second. So maybe we're also wrong. Maybe every situation where there is a, you know, an absence of hezekriya, but not a quality remedy for it, maybe requires a remedy. I can't prove it 100%, but it's very likely that, you know, that's not the case. That there are really two different dinim. Now, if there are two different dinim, let's assume for the moment. First of all, let's think for a moment, you know, what is this remedy? What is the benefit of the remedy beyond the circumstance in which there's no problem? Ah. So number one, I would say, minakala kave, thinking aloud, that, thinking a little a priori, on one level, it could be within, you know, more directly within hezekriya itself. In other words, the concern for the fact that this isn't a temporary and, you know, not a permanent solution. Right? And that has, I think, two levels to it. Number one, the fear for Nefilas flimsy wall, which isn't so different from things like Biatuta, right, on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, or and one perspective on Sharshifa on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. In other words, I don't feel safe, comfortable, you know, because the only thing dividing me from my neighbor is this flimsy wall, which could go any time. Okay? That's one thing to think about. Now, again, if we were talking about actual hezek, you know, taking place, you know, my eyes are shooting daggers at you, or even just, you know, actual violation of tznius and so on, that's still not taking place. So already we're kind of talking about, you know, hezek re'iyah as a quality of life, as a more positive requirement, etc. But okay, the psychological, the paranoia. Now, of course, when it comes to psychology and paranoia, you know, you have to also think, you know, where, you know, it could be Eiladam or Sof. So that's where, you know, people can get, you know, irrational. But within, I guess, reasonable, you know, parameters, that's something to think about. That's the first level. The second level, which is also, I think, a little mechudash, is, you know, what will happen in the interim period when the wall falls down, or if the wall falls down, right? So I'm worried, you know, that there'll be, you know, a period, a month, a year, a week, in which there'll be no hezekriya. So here already, maybe I can say, listen, once there needs to be a remedy, right, it should be a long-term remedy. It should be a remedy which also neutralizes, to the extent possible, right, the impact of even temporary hezekriya. Now, the fact that we do that, I think, says something again about hezekriya being perceived as a particularly pernicious, you know, kind of a hezek. You know, again, it's consistent with, you know, seeing it as something like Kutra and Beis HaKiseh and so on. But at least that's a perspective. Okay, that line, that idea that, you know, we're worried about the interim period is at least a formulation that appears in one of the Rishonim. Anybody? Yeah? The what? The Muki Yosef, but he's quoting, correct, the Muki Yosef does quote it, and he's quoting the Ramban. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef here is very influenced until he gets to the Ra'ah part by the Ramban. But you're right. Yeah, 100%. The Ramban, when he walks to explain, you know, the need for a quality wall, speaks about the concern about having to go to Bezdin, you know, because of the interim period when the wall is not being, you know, quickly erected. Again, I think that's very telling about hezekriya. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Ramban, you know, who embraces the Rif, I don't think you have to embrace the Rif for this, but, you know, for the Ramban who embraces the Tshuvas HaRif and who says that it's worse than Kitra Beis HaKiseh, you know, for him, you know, to be, you know, focusing on, you know, what might be in the interim period, I think is very fascinating. Okay, let's say you know, we go beyond that. It's not the paranoia it might fall. It's not the, you know, the concern, you know, about, you know, the period after it falls, you know, when there won't be any protection. What's the next level, would you say? Yossi, what's the next level?
You don't want to add the litigation
to
that. You want to get the...
Exactly. So it's a financial question. And that is, if already we're solving the problem, right? So we want to avoid litigation. So if we're going to solve it, if we're going to take care of this, if we're going to remedy because of Hezekiah, let's do it in a way which is financially sound and fair. And it's not fair, right, to just kick the can down the road a little bit, you know, and to anticipate future, you know, litigation. Now that could be perceived in its own right as something, you know, again, that's not a Hezekiah issue. It's just a, you know, given the fact that you have to solve Hezekiah, so that engenders a separate question. What's the financially most sound or fair, you know, even minimal way to do it? So then you have like a kind of a clash between two, you know, principles. One is, you know, everybody should be able to spend as little money as possible to solve this problem. But on the other hand, if that's, you know, likely to just, you know, to create greater obligations down the road, you know, then, you know, then that, you know, becomes becomes a sounder financial, a sounder remedy, because it's a sounder financial remedy, right, to invest more. Okay? So that, I think, is the view of Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm going to document all this, if we don't finish it today on Tuesday, quickly. The Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, although I think they argue, too. I shouldn't say Rabbeinu Yonah. I think this is the view of the Rajba. It's mostly like the view of the Rush. I think there's one other perspective here that really differs in a significant way. I think there are nuances. And that is, it's not just, you know, the fear of the wall not being there, or the interim, or, you know, the fair financial investment, you know, required for a long-term solution, etc. Maybe it also has to do with, two more things, but they overlap a lot, with either the quality of what's happening at the border, you know, it's making everybody happy, taking into account, you know, that this all started because of Hezekiah. The question is, did it escalate, you know, not just into something financial to solve Hezekiah, but also into, like, now there's a Chiyuv Binyan. And I'll just go with Rabbeinu Yonah first. And when there's a Chiyuv Binyan, there's a certain, like, code, like communities or cities or, you know, there's like a certain, you know, bringing things to code or quality, you know, of work, you know, in a community, right? Like zoning, you know, kind of issues, like certain communities, like the community in Queens, like it's a private community, and they have, and sure, there's by some, you know, shemakoli, and many things can be within buildings. You know, you have to build like a certain way, only certain height, only certain kind of materials. You know, nothing to do with the effect. It has to do with, you know, the standards and the quality and sense of pride or whatever it is. Is it possible, you know, that once there's a chiyuv to build, right, then the building has to be on a certain level? And if that's the case, just to go the overlapping part of it, is that true? But that's, again, certainly on the remedy level, but that's already the remedy beyond anything to do with Hezekiah. But even the previous one, what I associated with the Rajba and the Rush, But what about, you know, also that being an issue, more particularly about shutvin or border? And those are two different things too, I guess. Or just solving a dispute, you know, between the parties, or you're trying to create a new reality on a border, you know, so then there has to be, you know, a certain agreed upon, you know, protocol or quality, you know, in that context. I think that's also possible. So given these different considerations, it then becomes also possible maybe to be mechalek, right, between different scenarios. Like, just like I said before. Like, before, we were talking about, like, let's say, you know, there is no problem because there happens to be, you know, a wall. Whether it's, you know, he himself built a wall and then his wall, you know, and his wall, you know, is of an inferior type. That doesn't mean you have to build a superior one. Or again, like, there's shutfus in a chotzer, but there's also happens to be a flimsy wall, you know, be'emtza. They break up their shutfus. Is it so clear in that circumstance they have to... But let's talk about other chilukim. Does it make a difference if we're dealing with something on the border? Or everybody is betoch shalo, like you have shnei gagin, you know, b'shnei tzidei, you know, rishus harabin. Is that different, you know, than either shutfin? I'm suggesting to draw the line in different places. Either shutfin, or at least, you know, something on a border, even if it isn't the breakup of a shutfus. That's one question. Does it make a difference if both people are being mazik each other, or it's unilateral? Okay. Another question. Even if both people are being mazik each other, does it matter whether we perceive each one of these mazikim as being separate? Like Reuven's being mazik Shimon behezekriya, and Shimon's being mazik Reuven behezekriya, as opposed to perceiving it as they're both being mazik each other, or is it, in other words, is this on the kind of on the border or not? I'll explain in a minute. Does that make a difference? And, you know, getting back to the border issue for a moment and question of unilateral, etc., of course, the big, big issue, does it make a difference, you know, if this is the required solution or this is a nichnas betoch shalo solution? Okay, so all these distinctions I just made, you know, we'll document in a couple of minutes. But what I have in mind with them is, you know, going back to the bigger distinction, which is, let's say there are, broadly speaking, two categories, and within the second category, right, there's also a question of how, what exactly the character of it is. Meaning, there's one issue, and that is to ensure that lemaisa there is no problem, that there's no hezekriya. Right? And then there's a second issue, and that is when you have a hezder, when you have an arrangement or a remedy, right? So what do you need to accomplish with this remedy that maybe transcends or goes beyond simply neutralizing, right, the fact of the hezek, both in terms of the psychology or the interim, you know, a fear of interim future hezekriya, those are the more internal ones, or the dine mominis, you know, that takes over, you know, in terms of the remedy, a remedy that's, you know, financially, you know, fair and reasonable, and maybe long-term and robust. Or, and, you know, getting to the point of, like, what's the expected standard, you know, of quality of work and, you know, irrelevant, you know, to and irrespective of, you know, why you're building this wall, but also maybe related to, again, this idea, well, we're all living together, and therefore there are expectations, you know, that we do things, you know, in a certain way. With regard to those, with regard to either the distinction between, you know, there being no problem and there being a remedy, or a remedy which is exclusively kind of a hezekria remedy, or the finances, sound finances as a result of that remedy, or, you know, a din bifnei atzmo, or life of its own, you know, of, you know, binyan, or, you know, shutfim, or shcheinim, etc. In those questions, gufa, the distinctions that I mentioned before might be relevant. Right? In other words, if you step back and it's not on the border, you know, you're supposed to solve the problem of the border. You choose your own solution within your border. Is it possible to say, oh, that isn't a remedy because you don't need a remedy. You only need a remedy at the border. That's like, you know, going back to there's no problem. Or, if I want a remedy but not by the border, you know, then maybe, you know, all I need to relate to is things like, you know, psychological hezekria, or, you know, interim hezekria. Also, I have to long-term finance. It's not both of our finances. It's my finances. Right. Or, at minimum, I don't necessarily have to build to code, because this isn't about the border or the community. You know, it's about me. So maybe it's enough that, you know, we're not going to have to go back to court and deal with this. It's a robust solution, even if it isn't a aesthetically or socially, you know, attractive solution. Okay? Everybody with me? Okay. So having said all that, I'm running a little late, but we can, you have another couple of minutes? We can try to make some progress? Okay. So I just want to go through very quickly, you know, in light of these perspectives, like what some of the actual shitos are. Okay, so what is Tosis's Ezra, if you don't mind? Let's talk about Tosis for a minute. Well, then, before we get to that, let me just say one more thing, and that is certainly the everything mentioned in the Mishnah, whether it's material and shiurim, certainly seem to be, at minimum, I guess you could look at them in two ways, but pashtus is that those are solutions, those are remedies. Hutzav Adafna, you know, probably is already, well, there's no problem. But, or maybe, you know, Ba'asra D'Nehigi, maybe the point is that, you know, If the minhag isn't to demand a remedy, the minhag is that you can also, you know, just neutralize the problem. Maybe that's okay too. I mean, I'm not sure whether Hutzav V'Dafna is the minimum remedy, or it's just a way of saying, you know, you don't always need a remedy if everybody agrees. You only need a remedy, you know, if that's the minhag amako. But certainly the other ones all seem to be remedies of some sort, because they're certainly beyond, right, simply solving the problem. Okay, having said that, so now let's think, and we should now have a little bit of a different perspective on is it okay to be machmir, right, or mekel, because it isn't, you know, one-sided anymore. If you're machmir, meaning you demand a stronger wall, a thicker wall, right, that's, you know, that's a financial burden. You know, on the other hand, is it a better remedy? Right. Okay. So what is Tosis's view?
The minimum is Hutzav
V'Dafna, and the maximum is... Yeah, Shlomar Dim Naga Yosem Yvav Bigvil. What'd you say? So again, you can't be, Tosis's chiddush is that you can't be machmir. Right? So that's strange. Why can't you be machmir?
Well,
what? Yeah, the answer is the downside is it's financially burdensome. So maybe the idea also is, like, what's the, no, these aren't gzeiros hakasuvs, is this that this is the assessment. Beyond this amount, it's not qualitatively a better remedy. I mean, it'll last well enough, and its quality is good enough. Like, there's no extra chalos when you're machmir beyond this, right? Or, and, you know, that, you know, whatever the remedy is, right? Let's say there are a range of remedies. The necessary remedies, you know, ends here. Like, oh, maybe for, you know, anything after the psychological or interim hezekriah, maybe even, you know, sound, financial, fair, you know, forward-looking, you know, solution. You know, these do it. Anything beyond that is, you know, pure aesthetics or, you know, or some other factor about the quality of the wall, you know, has zero to do with hezekriah or even the financial, you know, outlay to insure it. Okay. Either way, Tosa says that lechumra, right, we're not machmir. Dafilim noga behutza v'dafna. I'm sorry. Miu, sorry. Go ahead. So that, of course, is not so pashut. Hutzav adafna is material, right? The thickness, you know, of the wall is a different story, which is why there are Rishonim who certainly, you know, disagree, including Ramban. Right? Ramban seems to say you can't go in either direction. Correct? Not lechumra, not lekula. Tosis thinks, it's interesting, there's a certain irony we'll see in a moment, that you can go, if you can go to Hutzav Adafna, you can also, right, Ba'atra, the Nehigi, you can do less, right, than, you can't do more, but you can do less. Karen, Hutzav Adafna, apparently, is a solution for Tosis. Right? Okay. Bim Tomar, but then Tosis has one more point. Which is what that Chumas Rashba, right, was about. So what's Rabbeinu Tam saying? Anything less than Hutzav Adafna is a minhag hedja. Okay? He doesn't say why. Okay. The Ramban, interestingly, you saw it, Ezra? Agrees with Tosis about not being machmir, and then he adds something there. Dekoi tuva. Well, let me say before we get to that. So for Rabbeinu Tam, what's a story less than Hutzav Adafna? That's a tos. It's see through. The less than Hutzav Adafna? Presumably not. Right? So the problem is not that it's see-through, but it's flimsier. So that gets exactly what we're talking about. In other words, even if there's a minog, that's, oh, this is the remedy, or we don't need a remedy, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's not satisfactory. The minimum of Hutzav Adafna is necessary because there is some sort of a remedy required, and a minimum remedy as opposed to a minimum where lemaisa there's no hezek re'iyah is what you need. Okay. The Ramban agrees about l'chumra, that there's no need for chumra, and here he adds dekoi tuva. You have it, Ezra? The koi tuva or something like that? What does he say? It's koi tuva. meaning it's good enough? Does he deny? I mean, no one is going to deny that something that's thicker or better material will last longer. He's saying, so chalos. The remedy, whatever the remedy is, you know, the top remedy is accomplished here. Okay. What about in the other direction? Can you be makil in the thickness and that? Like Rabbeinu Tam? Seems like not in the Ramban. Okay, so the Ramban seemingly says that you can't do less. Meaning if you whatever material you're using, you're then stuck with these dimensions. Okay, that's against Tosis, in that the Ramban is, let's say, we'll call it, you know, more rigid, right? But when it comes to Hutza V'dafna, that's where the Ramban disagrees. Correct? Ezra? Go ahead. When he quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying that Machtzelas HaKonim, or whatever it is, less than Hutza V'dafna, is a minag betos, he disagrees. Why? What? That's where you are. That's that even the Hakel you can't. Where's the point about Hutza V'dafna? You have that? This is what Rabbeinu Tam says about Hutza V'dafna is wrong. You don't have that in your mind? What? Oh, it's on the. Yeah, we're going to. Just give me 2 more minutes. Yeah. What's he saying? He quotes Rabbeinu Tam that you can't go less than Hutza V'dafna. Again, it's interesting. The Ramban is more rigid than Rabbeinu Tam about being makil in the width or the thickness, whatever it's called, correct? But he's more makil than Rabbeinu Tam. He's more flexible about less than Hutza V'dafna, correct? So what's the point? It sounds like either he's cholek the metzius. He thinks, you know, it's fine. That also is kayam. Hard to say. Or is he saying that there can be a minute? Maybe Rabbeinu Tam is saying there always needs to be some sort of a remedy. And Hutza V'dafna is the limited, is the minimal remedy. And maybe the Ramban is saying, if the minhag is that you don't need a remedy, that you just have siluk as a griya, that's also maybe. Okay, good. But he makes Rabbeinu Tam sound as if it's a problem that it's not miskayemes, and therefore it's not a long-term remedy. Or does Ramban think it is miskayem? Hard to know. Okay. Then he mentions, however, if there's a minug, then maimad kulam. You have that, Ezra? If it's not just a minhag year, but it's a stronger, it's a minhag b'maimad kulam, you have that? It says, then even if the minhag is to be more machmir, we'll accept that too. Yeah, so that would imply that it's not that that's, you know, there's no chalos or benefit, you know, beyond a certain point. It's just that, you know, it's the ein l'davar sof of the quality of the remedy. But that could still be, you know, refined by a eschaivus b'maimud, you know, anshe ha'ir, which is a different level of minaga here. Right? Okay. Then he goes on. He says, and he asks the question, is the key line. He says, like, well, what's the big deal of this whole thing? Why don't we just have Hutza V'dafna? You have a line, Ezra? Which, of course, is the question. That's the point that Tovia was speaking about. Ah, so here's where he asks the question, like, what's going on in this whole thing? Like, why is it a chiddush to say Hutza V'Dafna? Why would anybody ever disagree with Hutza V'Dafna? It neutralizes Hezekria, right? Ezra? And what's the answer? His answer? But he's the one who mentions, and that's in Muki Yosef, you know, you're totally right. Muki Yosef picks up on it, and, what'll be in the interim? Okay, very, very different. That's different. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that. Rajba doesn't say that. Right? The Rush doesn't say that. They, as we'll see in a moment, are worried about, again, Rabbeinu Yonah's worried about, oh, you know, this is the way that people build, or the way they build, you know, shutfim walls, at least. Right? Whereas the Rajba and the Rush are concerned about the sound financial investment part of it. Like, you know, we don't want to keep coming back to you. Okay. But the Ramban speaks of the actual concern for what about that interim period? Maybe Lishitaso. Okay. Yeah. So this is a very, very important piece of the Ramban. Then what does he say about Sid? Yeah. So that, of course, is very reasonable, assuming that it's practically true. I mean, I'm not a builder. But, right? I heard some gasps, like, this is like a shock. Yeah. So I did always claim I was going to build, you know, my own house, but I was, you know, it's like a fantasy more than anything else. But the, this idea of koi, in other words, it has to do with the quality of the arrangement. It's not like an arbitrary, for the Ramban especially, it's not about, you know, a certain look or, you know, a standard, right? Or even if it is, it's the quality of the remedy. And therefore, Sid is fine. It's interesting that the Nebuke Yosef quotes, you know, he mostly, you know, endorses the Shitas Ramban, but he does quote Yesh Omrim that even in Sid they would require, you know, the Shiurim, right? Which implies, again, that, you know, it's not financial, it's certainly not Hezek Re'ia. Once it's a Chiyuv Binyan, you know, it's... you know, it just it's taken over by, you know, the building code people, with the added assumption that that even is a building code issue. And of course, this also touches on another question, and that is, you know, what about when we say, you know, according to the standards of binyan of the city, are we talking about the binyan of you know, building a kosel, you know, bechatzer, bein hashutfim? Are we talking about the general building codes of the city, assuming there's a difference? So this is an issue that Rishonim brought up. Again, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, for some reason the Achronim understood that the Ramban felt that, you know, it goes according to the building code of the city. And the Beis Yosef already says, nah, it doesn't have to be the Pshat and the Ramban. I don't think it's a pshat in the Ramban at all. I don't think it's the ruach of the Ramban at all. But there is obviously was such a shita. The Rama quotes this shita, you know, that it's the, like, why would it ever have to be according to the code of the city, not the code of, you know, a chotzer ha shutfim, you know, bechotzer, a kosel bechotzer lehavdilus ha shutfim. But again, it's a great example of this other view that is that Hezekiah is the reason you have to build a wall. Once you have to build a wall, you know, then you have to speak to the variance people and the other, the building office, and, you know, it just becomes like it's a community obligation or a community, you know, it's the way you build in a city. Similarly, talk about the Nebuke Yosef and get through that. Stop in 2 more minutes. Mukhe Yosef quotes the Shitas HaRa'ah. Ezra? A very shocking Shita that made its way into the Shulchan Aruch even. Correct? What's that? We're going to get to that bigger issue in a minute with the Rosh. Well, I guess we'll finish this up Tuesday, but with the Rosh and the Rajba and Rabbeinu Yonah. If you get a chance, also you'll see the Sivas. But the Ra'ah says something quite shocking. What does he say? Yeah, you don't mind. If it's accessible, if not, you can just tell us what it says. Yeah. What's that? The guy wants a building is within his own space, right? And the Ra'ah says no, because the guy says, listen, I don't get the benefits of leaning my ladder against it or whatever it is, or using it in a different way. So, of course, the question is, where does that come? So the Taz actually in Choshen Mishpat, Alatar, Sif Dalin, whatever it is, formulates this question. It says, when did you get a right to be Somech, on the wall? It's all about Hezekriah. Like the Ramban's question about, why is there ever a problem with Huta V'dafni? The Taz's formulation is very good. Taz just says, anybody have it in Shulchan Aruch? Just very quickly. Taz says, he rejects it. Where is this? Kuf Nun Zion? Dalet? It's quoted as the Ramban quotes it as a possibility. Im nagu b'mechitza kala v'echad omer la'asosa kula mishalo b'avonim v'lichnos atoch shalo o lehefech yesh omer b'chaver yochol la'akev al yodo v'yasu k'minag numog Yosef b'shem ra'ah. That's quoted in the Ramah on Siv Dalet. So this doesn't have the Tazer Dalet here. Ayin mashakasav t'muin alai devarim pein Mitzad Makoran Shal Dvarim, Duhu HaRabin Mukhe Yosef, and Mitzad, he thinks that the Ramah even expanded it. And the way the Ramah says it also is like the guy says, oh, I'll give you Matana, I'll let you do it. He says, I don't want favors from you because Soni Matanos. Yechia, right? I want to be able to have this illegal right. Tomoli, this shiny simin kufav ayin aleph, bechat Hashem b'din chaluka, dahinu da'an amos, rotza echad lachal glosses chaver da'an amos. So there's an issue of soni matanas yichya, but not here. But the bigger question, of course, is, mashen ken kan, ein al ze'el l'salek hezegriya, v'kim shabonim ishalo, u'mesalek b'kosel shalavanim, miyam chabiyado. Let's say the guy says, I don't want to build a wall, but I'm never going to use the chatzer. I abandon the chatzer. Even the Ramah is even worse, he explains. Good. And he leaves it. Ain't Zelda Tema. What's the Taz really saying? He's saying, I don't get the whole thing. Where did this... the Ra'ah is very b'chudash. He says, where did he get the right to be so mechal kosalo? That's number one. Great question. Number two, right, is, and if he would decide that he's never going to use the... So he's walking away from it. So instead of walking away from it, he built in his own territory, he built a wall against it. But the Ra'ah, I think, is the ultimate example. There's Hezekriah, so we have to remedy number one, not just neutralize. But the Chiddush of the Ra'ah is that the remedy includes the relationship between the parties. There are other rights. If it's just about, you know, Silu Kahezek, of course, everything the Taz says is correct. Like, where did he get the right of... The answer is, as part of the bigger story of neutralizing Hezek Re'iyah, there's going to be like a new arrangement at the border. And it's going to be a mutually beneficial... There are going to be fringe benefits. The fringe benefits are part of the story. That's an amazing idea. Very mechudash. Is it really like, oh, I'll abandon, I'll walk away from the chatzer, I'll never use it? No. That's an example where there's no problem. There's no mechayev. But where there is a mechayev, right, and there's a need for a pitaron, a remedy, then the remedy, you know, either within Hezekria or the financial side, or, you know, as a shutfus, or maybe part. It's part of the Hezekria remedy too, in a way, meaning we're going to have a different, we're going to have a certain kind of arrangement at the border. It's a very big Chiddush of the Ra, but that's where it's coming from. Not so different. They could have said, the Ra'ah's mechudash in a different way. That's because once you step back from the border, it's one thing to say, oh, the solution's at the border, and that includes also the right to use the wall, etc. But if I'm stepping back in my own territory, so then I'm going back to, you know, then the Taz's explanation, you know, becomes, you know, it's like I'm not going to use the chatzar. Or it's like there already was a chutz of a dafna, or less than a chutz of a dafna, and there was no problem. Okay, so that's a very, you know, whether you need the code, you know, of Kol Ha'ir, not just the, or you have this right of being Somech Bakosel, and you can even be Ma'akev, you know, if you want to be Nichnas B'tok Shalo, that's quite shocking. Yeah. We'll see Nichnas B'tok Shalo in the other. Okay, we're going to stop because it's not fair. So that's... the Ramban, the Nebuke Yosef, the Ra'ah, the Taz. If you get a chance to look at the Nesivos, also has a comment on this Taz, which I'll mention just very quickly Tuesday. What I want to do Tuesday to finish up is very briefly the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba and the Rush. And then just a little bit about Kutra Basic and things I told you to look at. And then I want to start Kilayim, hopefully, already on Tuesday. Okay? So that's the plan. And hopefully tomorrow, all things being equal, there should be some time for some meetings.